Wake up. It is Sleep Unplugged, episode 18, Daylight Saving Time. What exactly are we saving? Welcome, everyone. It's great to have you with us on the 18th episode of Sleep Unplugged. It's been an exciting week. First and foremost, congratulations to the Phillies who just won the National League. We'll be moving on to the World Series. Really excited about that. Very appreciative of Scott Miller writing an article about that in the New York Times. It came out, and I think it's actually the first mention of Sleep Unplugged in a national publication. So that was exciting. I'm sort of torn here. I like keeping this sort of small, indie, independent. So national exposure, I am sometimes uneasy with, but it was very exciting, but mostly excited for the Phillies. Sorry about the Padres. They're going to get it next year, as will the Dodgers and the Guardians. So that was exciting. The podcast has done very well. We're on episode 18, and we were ranked the number 37 medical podcast in the United States. So I just want to thank everybody for the support, spreading the word, getting the word out, letting people know that this is available. Hopefully people are finding value in it. It continues to be completely commercial free. No conflicts of interest here, just me delivering great sleep information to you guys, and really appreciate all the feedback. So we move to comments, corrections, criticisms, and continuation. Our comment today comes from Resilience in Motion on Instagram. Thank you very much for the follow, the compliments. Hey, Dr. Winter, I had a question from an older client. Does the optimal nap time of 30 minutes change for older folks? I like the word folks. I think Dimitri Martin said, I can't say it. We'll keep this clean. Dimitri Martin has a great comedian bit about the word folks. I love the word too. So she's talking about napping. We covered napping last week in episode 17, and we talked sort of about optimal napping times, whether you're just sort of touching yourself up or if you're sort of making up for sleep that you lost through no fault of your own. As you get older, given the fact that A, older adults tend to sleep less than younger, and B, there's more wakefulness after sleep onset for older adults, and sort of naturally more fragmentation, I would say yes, that there probably is an expansion of the amount of time an older individual might want to nap to sort of make up for those inherent deficiencies. But we have to be very careful. I'm sort of going out on a limb there. I don't think there's really great published data about the normal or recommended nap times for individuals, like there are sort of recommended or sleep ranges. But I think that given what we know about the deterioration of an older individual's sleep, you could safely say that, yeah, they're allowed a little bit more napping. But again, we want to be very careful that excessive napping during the day might start to eat away or erode the quality of their sleep at night. So just want to keep that in mind. But thank you very much for listening to the show, Resilience in Motion. We really appreciate it. Corrections, I don't think that there are any that I've received since the last visit. Criticism and suggestions, we've got one from Hob Gadling, who contacted the show via Twitter. Hey, Dr. Winter, thanks for sleep. He called it Unzipped, which that's a different show, man. Sleep Unzipped. I claim that right now. Because I've always thought the intersection between sleep and sex is just awesome. And we'll do a show on that soon. And Hob, I'm going to call it Sleep Unzipped just that for that one episode. We're going to change the Sleep Unplugged to Sleep Unzipped, and that'll be that episode. No problem there. Really enjoying it and learning interesting things in the nooks and crannies. A suggestion and a question. So the suggestion was, the audio is really not good. I got to read this real quick. It sounds like you're talking from out of a well. I'd urge you to get a better microphone or possibly pick another room. Well, We are out of the typical place that we record for a few weeks, and that might have something to do with it. Although I was recording a podcast recently, Chasing Sleep, I may have mentioned, this is a podcast that I was doing with sleep.com and a mattress firm. And as I was recording it, the woman, the engineer, so this, that show has a real engineer, said, "Hey, Dr. Winter, your microphone's turned the wrong way." So if you can see on the YouTube channel, if you're watching the video, this is the proper orientation for the mic, but I had it turned this way. Maybe you can hear the difference, the sort of Larry King style, but this specific microphone, which is a nice microphone, apparently, I had it oriented wrong. So hopefully that will get better. He said you could adopt the blanket trick, which apparently is something journalists did during COVID to help with the sound quality. But anyway, he did ask a question. He said, "I've listened to quite a few podcasts with you when The Sleep Solution, my first book, came out, and you seem very skeptical of sleep tech, but in recent years, you seem to have embraced it with more enthusiasm. Has anything changed?" Actually, it hasn't, Hob. I've always been very enthusiastic about sleep tech. I did an article for Huffington Post, which you can still find, where I actually wore lots of sleep monitors on my arm for several weeks, and then culminated my experiment by doing a in-lab polysomnographic study on myself while I was wearing all the devices. I remember there was a device that's no longer made called Basis Band that worked really well. I have done, you know, some work with other companies to kind of help them with their products. I like them. I just think we have to be very careful about validation and exactly what they are stating that they measure, how accurately, if at all, they do that. So we just want to be very careful about those types of things. But I'm enthusiastic about technology and always have been. But thank you very much for the question. Really appreciate it. So moving on, daylight saving time, the topic of our show today. I almost named it Daylight Saving Time, Save It for Later, as a reference to the 1982 song by English Beat that has a great lyric in it that I'll read to you right now. If you're not familiar with the song, it's a great song. If you're my age, you know the song. And interestingly, they're English Beat, that's the name of their song, but not in England. They're actually a band from Birmingham. And because of legal reasons, when they were in Canada and the United States, they were English Beat. Back home, they were just The Beat. But anyway, the song, Save It for Later. Two dozen other stupid reasons. Why should we suffer for this? Don't bother trying to explain them. Just hold my hand while I come to a decision on it. I think perfectly sums up daylight saving time. So let's get into it. First and foremost, it is daylight saving time, not daylight savings time. So whenever somebody says something about something, "Hey, I have a question about daylight savings time." I'm just like, what exactly is that? And like, "Oh, you know, it's, you know, when you spring forward or fall back." I'm like, I'm not really sure I know what you're talking about. And finally, I'll be like, are you talking about daylight saving time? So that's a lot of fun to do to people. You can do it once, and after that, people get really irritated for doing it. So it's daylight saving time. It's going to end November 6th. So we will have another episode next week. But I wanted to do that on nightmares and night terrors in honor of Halloween. So we'll hit daylight saving time. Plus, I wanted to give people a chance to implement some actions to make daylight saving time easier. Even though the fall is usually not when people struggle, it's usually the spring shift where you lose the hour that causes the problem. So anyway, we're about to have our yearly 25-hour day where we gain that hour. So if you're like me and just wish that days had more hours, coming up in a few weeks, you're going to get your wish. You get a 25-hour day. Everybody thinks this came about because of farmers. That is absolutely not true. In fact, when you talk to farmers, there are many of them that are comically on the record about, you know, when the optimal time is for them to tend to their crops or milk their cows, saying that daylight saving time is a tremendous pain for them. This is not helping them at all. I'm not sure exactly. I tried to look it up where the farmers thing came from. I mean, when you think about early to bed, early to rise, daylight saving time sort of stands against that. And it's interesting because Ben Franklin, who was sort of widely credited with thinking about this first in the late 1700s, basically proposed it as a way, I think, for the French to save candles. He wanted, go to bed early, get up early. But he said, if you kind of implemented this shift, you wouldn't have to burn so many candles at night because you'd be awake during more daylight time. So even though he proposed it, it was not adopted until Port Arthur, Ontario, adopted it permanently in 1908. I think it was on a dare. That's not true. I don't think they were dared by a nearby city to do it. Not true. So Port Arthur was the first to do it. Germany did it during World War I to conserve coal. A lot of countries that are situated around the equator have never done it because the whole purpose here is to create meaningful change based upon the tilt of the earth. So if you're hanging out near the equator, summer, fall, winter, spring, the seasons are not changing that relatively equal amount of darkness and light that you see. The further you move towards the poles, the more dramatic that shift can be, to the point where you're having winters with no light or summers with exclusively light. So this is really not something that you see throughout the world. In fact, when you look at the countries who have daylight saving time, it's a minority of the countries around the world. Not that many people do it. And we didn't do it until 1918 with the Standard Time Act. That was the name of the law that passed at that time. But after World War I, which ended around 1918, I believe, USA tended to kind of drift away from it a little bit, or certain pockets of it did. And it wasn't until 1966 with the Uniform Time Act, not the Standard Time Act. This was the Uniform Time Act that it was adopted permanently, which really dovetailed nicely with the 1970 energy crisis and whatnot. So it's interesting. So the energy is important because it was not candles, but energy that really sort of pushed for this movement. And so as I started thinking about this, I was thinking, well, we talk a lot about energy now and saving energy and green policies. Are there reasons to actually think about keeping daylight saving time for that reason? And not really. So it was interesting that the energy savings, when you look at research, there was a big study that looked at it and said, look, you're going to save about 0.34% energy. The Department of Transportation in the United States did a similar study and said the savings is about 1%. However, they felt like gasoline consumption rose considerably more than that. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Okay, you don't have to light your home. You're not using the energy of the bulbs in your house to light your house. But because it's nice outside and there's daylight, you might get in your car and actually go somewhere. So I think when I've looked at I'm going to stay in my lane here. I'm a sleep doctor. I am not an energy specialist, but I think that it's safe to say that there isn't compelling reasons to keep daylight saving time because of energy savings. I mean, when you think about it, there is something attractive about doing something that en masse changes the behaviors of everyone. It's not a choice. It's kind of like some of the research that came out of COVID when everybody was pretty much staying home. What does that do to fuel consumption and ozone change and things of that nature? There's not many chances to sort of enact that sort of widespread policy. So maybe that 0.34% or 1% does actually change. And when you think about, in a house, beefing up your insulation can save 10% of in terms of heating costs, and bulbs that we put in our house are energy efficient, can be upwards of 80% more efficient in terms of electricity use and cars and whatnot. So these are very difficult algorithms to pick up on, but I think it's safe to say that the general consensus is we can scrap energy savings as a reason to keep daylight saving time. So I think that's really important. So where we are now is we're looking at health. That's really where it kind of boils down to, is health concerns. And so when you look at these types of things, that seems to be the biggest driver of urge to change policy. So in fact, not too long ago, there was a House Energy Committee meeting. Basically, experts came out there and said, look, you know, daylight saving time is outdated. It's causing individuals to have increased heart attack, stroke, bad health outcomes. Although it's interesting, RAND Corporation said, well, yeah, those may be true. But when you look at car accidents, there was a pretty significant drop. This was a 28-year study. There's about an 8 to 11% drop in cars hitting pedestrians and a 6 to 10% drop in vehicular crashes in general at night because more people were driving during daylight hours. So it is interesting to, you know, add, well, maybe more people are having heart attacks, but less people are dying behind the wheel of their car being hit by cars. So again, how do those things kind of wash out? I don't think I'm smart enough to tell you the answer to that. So there is sort of a contrary statement to health, but I think overall, most people look at this and think daylight saving time is not adding to our health. Maybe during the November change or people getting an added hour, you certainly see a lot more health-related consequences during the time where we lose the hour. But it is interesting when you look at some studies, the thought was initially, as we lose the hour in the spring, there's sort of a spike in heart attacks, hospital admissions, stroke, atrial fibrillation, all those things tend to happen right at the change. And then as we adapt to our new circadian reality, that health risk was thought to sort of go away. But not every study shows that. Some studies show that there is a maintenance of risk during that time of daylight saving time that does not go away until the spring when we go back to standard time, which is really interesting. And the theory there is, look, we have a natural rhythm. Let's get rid of all the clocks. Let's think about, let's go back to episode 14, circadian rhythms, and Ashoff's bunker, and Kleitman and Richardson in that cave in Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, we were talking about. When you put an individual in an environment, so we're all going to go out to this great campsite somewhere in the Midwest, not near the equator, not near the pole. We're going to have a tent. We can bring anything we want. We're just not bringing watches or anything that would indicate time. And we're just going to naturally wake up. We're going to naturally go to bed and kind of see what happens. And we'll just sort of keep tabs on everybody's wake times and bedtimes with our sleep technology that I'm embracing, Hob, as we talked about earlier in the show. So at the end of it, we're going to see sort of a spread. You know, most people seem to be falling asleep around this time, and most people seem to be waking up around this time. And again, as we talked about in the circadian rhythm episode, there's a skew there. You know, some people more night oriented, some people more morning oriented. We will have a show talking about circadian disorders, you know, night owls and morning larks, but you're going to see sort of a normal distribution. And so what a lot of scientists are saying is that, look, keeping humans on standard time is aligning our intrinsic circadian rhythm, again, which we talked about a tremendous amount in episode 14, we're keeping that more in line with the environment. I mean, we could choose any time periods to say, you know, any time of day or a 24-hour period as being noon. You know, I'm recording this later on Sunday night, excited about watching the season finale of House of the Dragon. This could be noon if we wanted it to be, and we could sort of rearrange our schedule with this always being our noon. But what scientists would say is that's so far off of what our circadian rhythm wants to be that there is going to be an inherent sort of fight between our innate system and the environment because we're so misaligned with where we want to be. So that's very interesting to think about. It's not just the change, even though that gets all the attention, that it actually might be the nature of the beast. And we talk about this in shift work, don't we? That being on days versus being on nights versus rapidly going backwards and forwards between days and nights. which would you rather be? Which is better for your health? I think nobody would argue days are better. Well, what's better after that? Is it better to be on a permanent night shift or the flip-flop, where you're at least getting 50% of the time with your body on that natural rhythm you want to be? My guess is the flip-flop is the worst condition. That, yeah, you might be not be perfectly aligned with where your body wants to be on night shift, but that rapid transition of shift backwards and forwards, we know, you know, puts us at risk for cardiovascular disease, cancer, et cetera. So all very interesting and all leading up to the United States Senate passing legislation called the Sunshine Protection Act. So we've gone from the Standard Time Act of 1918, Uniform Time Act of 1966, to the Sunshine Protection Act of 2022. I was thinking for a minute, European Union decided in 2018 to go back to standard time, to abolish it. And they passed, and then COVID happened, and everything kind of went sideways. And during that time in the EU, the debate about, wait a minute, we don't want to be on standard time. We might prefer to be on daylight saving time. So COVID caused enough of the pause in that legislative process where people suddenly got re-energized about the concept again and the issue, and they still are fighting about it, which is great. And if anybody can send the show, I'll post it on all my social medias, Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram. I would love to see one of those kind of rowdy parliamentary arguments about standard time, daylight saving time. You know, we're so polite in our Congress, we don't really talk when other people are talking, but oh, I'd love to hear that kind of, especially after hearing all this stuff with the Prime Minister heading out the door. I'd be listening to some of those interviews were quite rowdy. I think the word manhandled was used, so I'm not sure if there would be manhandling involved with that kind of argument. So anyway, so in the United States, we are in the process of trying to figure that out. So yes, it has passed the Senate. It is very unlikely to get past the House for a variety of reasons. One is the Sunshine Protection Act is doing just that, protecting your right to sunlight when you get off of work. So this Sunshine Protection Act would permanently keep us on daylight saving time. So it was really a surprise to me. I can't say I follow daylight saving time a lot during the year. It just becomes an issue in the fall and the spring when reporters and TV people all over the place call me up and say, hey, Dr. Winter, can you talk about daylight saving time? I told my wife a month or two ago, I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think if somebody calls me up and says, can we talk about daylight saving time, that I can put on that face and give 10 tips for how to optimize yourself. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, it's just, I don't follow it. I don't care for it. It's not that big a deal. Let's move on. So they made the decision without talking to the experts. And so if you want to look it up, there's a daylight saving time, an American Academy of Sleep Medicine position statement. It was released in October of 2020 that basically says, look, this thing is creating harm. Probably not a lot of harm, but it's creating harm. Let's call it what it is, unnecessarily. We don't need this. It's not conserving energy. Farmers hate it. Let's get rid of this thing. And let's get rid of it in favor of permanent standard time, which is what our bodies are sort of aligned to want. That is not what Marco Rubio and the Senate decided to do. They decided to pass Sunshine Protection Act because it allowed for people to have more light at the end of the day. And it's really interesting when you look at individuals and ask them, which would you rather have, daylight saving time or standard time? 60% of people say daylight saving time. It's depressing to them to get off of work and go home in the dark. They would rather go to work in the dark and have some daylight at the end of the day to watch your kid play a ball game, or go outside and fish, or enjoy the boat you just bought. Whatever your thing is, people like to be outside and enjoying those types of things. Even a CBS poll said that 46% of people wanted daylight saving time, 33 wanted standard, 21 wanted to keep what we already have, which is really one out of five people want to keep it exactly the way it is. Less than 1% wanted permanent sunshine. I'm just kidding. I made that up. And so what was cool is in the West, if the further West you went, the more people were kind of split on it. With the Midwest, the majority of it, 51% of when people wanted daylight saving time in the Midwest. Out West, far out West, that was 40-40. Now, Arizona and Hawaii sort of keep things, they don't follow daylight saving time. However, I think the Indian nations of Arizona do. So Arizona is kind of a strange place. I always have to always get that screwed up when I'm out there for spring training. So it always messes me up because a lot of times they're on LA time anyway. So that's where we are. We are on the verge potentially of passing the Sunshine Protection Act. But when this came out, if you follow the news, man, every sleep specialist, every mental health specialist, every child development expert, everybody came out and said, this is, whoa, wait. Nobody talked to us about this. This is not a great idea because without that sunlight that starts our day, it's going to mess up our sleep. How much have we talked about light on this show and how important it is to start your day with bright light and end it with darkness? Well, now you're flip-flopping that to some extent. Mood, that light. We know that all the neurotransmitters that affect sleep are intimately associated with the neurotransmitters that affect mood. So we're already dealing with an explosion of mental health crises in young people. And we're going to throw gasoline on that fire by making our day start off with no light permanently? Is this a good idea? So we're in a really tough spot here. It's kind of like asking a whole bunch of people, you know, what you want your dessert to be at the restaurant. I was thinking, you know, you go on vacation, there's always great frozen yogurt and ice cream shops at the beach, you know, town you all visit or whatever you go to. You go abroad, you little gelato places and whatnot. I mean, can you imagine walking in and somebody asking, what do you want? Fudge ripple? Or we've got this new flavor called rice cake. Nobody wants rice cake. Well, actually, rice cake's very healthy for you. Well, great, but I want coffee chocolate chip, man. That's my go-to flavor. I'm a big coffee fan. That's what I want to eat. I don't want rice cake flavored anything. I don't care how healthy it is. So if we're going to ask people what they want, you're going to be very disappointed in a lot of individuals who are not going to look at what's the healthiest thing for them. So we have some big decisions to make. And the way that I see it is it should be abolished. And it should be abolished to standard time. We'll get used to it. And again, in the summertime, when you want to be out in your boat, you're going to have plenty of sunlight. It doesn't matter. It's just as the days get shorter, right? The other thing that just drives me crazy about daylight saving time is, from my perspective as a clinician, I see and treat adults and kids who have sleep problems. It's just a constant sort of parade of people into the clinic. Hey, I'm Chris. How can I help you? Oh, I sleep terribly. I just can't sleep. What's going on? Well, it started like 7 years ago. Oh, really? What happened? Divorce, job loss, tragedy in your family? No, it was daylight saving time. Man, I remember it was like 2017 daylight saving time. Kind of got screwed up. It was never really recovered. Never recovered from a 1 hour time change? I mean, this is a flight from Indy to Chicago. You can drive it in less than 3 hours. I've never, ever heard anybody in my clinic come to me and say, hey, I was in Chicago and I flew to Indianapolis about 7 years ago. And man, my sleep's just been screwed up ever since. It's like, we don't even think about that. It's the same thing. It's a 1 hour change. I mean, God forbid you fly from New York to LA. That's a 3 hour change. And yes, there is actually research, just like there is in looking at daylight saving time, that would say that that kind of travel put you at risk for all kinds of cardiovascular disease. That the oldest study I could find was from the American Journal of Forensic Medicine and Pathology from 1990. This is the year before I graduated high school, 1990. Travel, time zones, and sudden cardiac death. And the conclusion said that underlying chronic processes, including large heart or old myocardial infarction, a heart attack, which both occurred with significantly greater incidence in travelers than in local residents and in totally different pattern from that occurring in subjects with three vessel disease. It is thought that the syndrome is caused by stress related to travel and time zone change. So listen, we do all kinds of things that put us at cardiovascular risk. So I don't want to overblow the risk of daylight saving time. Sorry. Everybody's making out to be some, you know, heart attack risk and stroke risk. And yeah, it is. But lots of things are. To me, it's really more about the unnecessary nature of this whole process. Why do we have it? Let's get rid of it. Let's be done with it. Because I don't think I can answer one more reporter's question about this topic in my career. So anyway. So what are some tips we can do to make ourselves better, more resilient to this? And again, this is mainly tips for the spring. To me, it's really about progressively adapting instead of just waiting for that one Saturday night to suffer that 1 hour change. And you know, it's interesting. It's not always been an hour. It's been anywhere from 20 minutes to 2 hours, depending on where you're at, which is really cool. So consider yourself lucky that we're only losing an hour, not two. So if you're somebody who's sensitive to that or has problems with it, then start making sort of incremental adjustments leading up to the change. Number two, don't stress about it. Please don't stress about it. It's an hour. When you start to stress, think about flight from Indy to Chicago or Chicago to Indy, depending on the time of year. You wouldn't stress about that. I mean, maybe you'd stress about the flying part, or the seat you're going to get, or are you late? Will you make your connection? But you're probably not going to stress much about that hour. Probably just move on with your life. You wouldn't even feel it. Your clock and your phone adjusts the time automatically. It's like not even a thought for most people. So don't let it be more than that. Make sure your sleep that you're getting leading up to the transition is good. You know, we talk about all the time on this show, sleep's the most important thing in the world outside of bacon and sex. But tonight's sleep, it's largely irrelevant. So just sleep great for the next 2 weeks. And then if things don't work out wonderfully for you when the time zone changes, it's not that big a deal. So there are my two dozen stupid reasons why we are suffering with this, namely daylight saving time. So I appreciate listening to me bothering to try to explain them. And I hope that we can all come to a very intelligent and informed decision on it, make the decision, and then we can let this go for the rest of eternity. That is my wish today. So thank you very much for listening. This is Dr. Chris Winter. You can find me Dr. Chris Winter Twitter, Dr. Chris Winter Instagram, Dr. Chris Winter TikTok, if you want to go there. We do have a YouTube channel. Let's see what else. Oh, my books, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It, has a whole section about circadian rhythms, as does my book about kids' sleep called The Rested Child, Why Your Tired, Wired, or Irritable Child May Have a Sleep Disorder and How to Help. Guys, this is so much fun. I can't believe we're just on episode 18 and we're already top 40 United States medical podcast. That's kind of insane. So we've got to figure out a way to celebrate this, get some t-shirts made or trucker hats or something like that. If you have suggestions for that, let me know too. So hit me up on my social medias, follow me, like the show, give me some feedback about the show. If you have time, I really appreciate the people who reviewed it. It really, really means a lot to me. To hear what you all have to say and make you all a part of the show. It's really a lot of fun. So until we talk again next week, sleep well.